today is the 139th Psalm, and Psalms is in between Job and Proverbs, about the middle of the Old Testament. Did you ever try to get away with something from a spouse, a parent, maybe an employer, and maybe even you did sometime? Well, this chapter is a testimony in how you may get away with stuff on this side of the planet, other side of earth, but not on heaven, not from our God who knows everything, goes everywhere, and sees everything. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even though your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, your bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Since I forgot the creed, let's just stay seated. It's all right. Let's join in the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now we'll let you go. Thank you. I'd like to invite the children to come down, if you would. Wonderful. I hope I have enough. Praise the Lord. Do any of you have a dog? Do you have a dog at home? When I was growing up, I always had a dog. And when my kids were growing up, we always had a dog too. And we would play hide and seek, okay? And when I would play with my kids, I would always kind of pretend like when they were very small and they would go hide like under a blanket and I could see a big bump. You know what I mean? There's this great big bump of it right on the couch and you know where the kid is. But I got to go, I can't see you. You ever play like that with somebody littler than you just for fun? Yeah. Well, sometimes I would take our dog. And our dog never was fooled. I'd say, go get him. And that dog would go screaming out of the kitchen because it knew how to play this game. And when it played, it would run around and oh, it smelled those kids. I don't know if they stunk. But they sure understood that, and the dog would just jump right on that kid and go, here it is. And then they'd go and they'd giggle and laugh and have fun. Well, that game, kind of like hiding and seeking, is really kind of a fun game, isn't it? Sometimes when people get bigger, they play hide and seek from God. And if we hide and seek from God, it means we're trying to pretend God can't see us. Okay, you can't see me now, God. I got my eyes closed. Is that silly? Yeah. Or I turn the light out and I go, you can't see me now, God, because it's dark in here. You think God get? Nah. Well, sometimes people get their hearts so messed up, so turned around, they try and play hide and seek from God. It doesn't work. And you know what the best part is? It doesn't matter where they hide. God is looking for them all the time. And he wants to do good things for them. And so I have a psalm today. That's kind of a song. And we don't sing it, but it was read to you this morning. But it's a psalm that reminds us, I'm going to look for you. I'm going to find you no matter what. Because I love you this much. I'm going to find you. And I'm going to do good things for your life. And at the end of the song, when David, who wrote the song, when he gets to the end, he says, oh God, do whatever you got to do to keep my life straightened out. Well, I'm hoping that we don't have any big people playing hide and seek except with little kids. And I hope you never try and play hide and seek with God because he always finds you and knows where you are before you even get started. It's kind of like he knows where you're going to hide. Oh, you're going to go hide under the blanket. You're going to crawl into the closet. You know, how do you know that? I'm God. All right. But that's what he's going to do. So you see if you can listen to the sermon today. I've got the parts in it that will remind us how God plays hide and seek. And he always finds us, okay? Good. I have a treat for you today. And I think I have enough. If not, somebody over on the left-hand side will rush. Oh, good. Just wait until we find out. Here you go. Take one. Just take one. Don't drop them. There you go. There you go. Just one, honey. Just one. No. Just one. Nope. Not today. There we go. There's more. Got another whole bag. Hang in there. There's some more. Oh, we're going to do good. Don't be afraid to come up and get them, guys. That's all right. Here's one. Thank you. There you go. Go ahead and grab one. Which one? That's all I got. Oh, yes, you can have one of those. Yes. You want one of these or one of those? Did everyone get one? All of you? Good. Do the parents want one? Okay. Nobody likes Reese's Pieces. Or peanut butter cups. Excuse me. Even said it wrong. (Clears throat) There is a characteristic that I think we've all felt sometimes, like running away. You ever go, I just wish I could run away and kind of leave it all behind. Big people, little people, we kind of get those feelings once in a while. Life gets overwhelming. And sometimes it's just because we're feeling kind of flooded with emotion or difficulty or trouble or something like that. And sometimes it's because we just don't know what else to do. We're just lost and we hit walls. Sometimes, like after listening to Brad's two sets of sermons, you kind of go, holy cow, that's tough stuff we're coming into. And you're supposed to say that, and then you kind of go, I feel overwhelmed. And I smile and I go, that's part of that feeling. Then there's also another heart and another attitude. If you're more than just a few years old, you may have done this one, which is the run from God because you want to sin. Ever done that one too? You run from God and you kind of go, well, if I don't think about God, God's not thinking about me. If I'm not reading the Bible, God's not keeping track of what I'm up to. Somehow, if I am doing all this stuff and I have run away either in my mind or my heart or my attitude, that God also is so far away. He can't figure me out. He's just so, oh God, oh, are you? You know, and then he can't see me most of the time. Well, I thought about that this morning, and I thought about the way that we live our lives. And I think David also felt that way. And so this is a psalm where David kind of put it all together and he understood exactly what God was speaking to his heart. And so we're going to try and do some of it today. I don't know if we'll get through the whole thing. We'll see. Verse 1, O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You ever think about that when you pray? You don't have to explain to God. He already knows. He allows you to explain and he encourages you to talk it through, but he already knows. And he already knows what you need. And in many cases, he's waiting for you to figure out what he already knows you need. Lord, I think I need more money. No. Lord, I need this. No. Lord, I need this. No. Lord, I need to repent and spend a lot less money than I'm spending now. Well done. You got it finally. And you get lessons like that, right? They come all the time in different ways that, you know, if you just would change my wife, Lord, if you just would change my wife, Lord, if you just would change my wife, Lord, I'd be a great husband, right? And God goes, uh-huh, uh-huh. And finally you come to your senses and you go, Lord, I'm the problem, aren't I? Yes. I must drive her nuts. Yes. Well, why didn't you tell me sooner? And he goes, she has been, right? You know, just little things that you start to understand. Here's David. He kind of comes to the end of himself. And he says, you got to understand the power of this confession, the power of the words of this song. They're not just floating off his lips. They come from a heart that's been discovered. They come from a heart that's been uncovered. They come from someone who has been in all kinds of different conditions and situations. And finally, he comes to that verse and he says, oh Lord, you've searched me. You've dug down. You've penetrated to my innermost being. You know why I do this. You know why I'm really worried. You know where my shortness of temper comes from. You know where all this frustration is. It really has nothing to do with my children. It has to do with me. It just has to do with an unbelievable, discontented spirit. And I have to acknowledge I have a discontented spirit. And I will be discontented as long as I live until, God, you penetrate that part of my life. And I look at you and say, God, I don't want this anymore. Where does the psalm end up? Because everything in this psalm ends up in the last two verses. So you got to keep focusing on them. Finally, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Finally, he gets to that point. And that challenge for you and I is understanding when God brings me to the point where I finally acknowledge, search me, finally recognize not only that he does do it, but I'm inviting him to do it. And here's the hard part. Let me know, lead me, guide me, show me what's got to be dealt with. So that I walk in the path that leads where you want me to be walking. That becomes that ultimate message of where David wants to lead us. And he goes through this process. And he says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you perceive my thoughts from a distance. You can be as far away. You know me, you got them all. You got everything about me clear in your head. You discern my going out. You discern my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Why do you talk like that to her? What do you mean? Why do you respond to your husband like that? Out of all the choices you make, why do you talk to your mom that way? What gives you permission inside your head to look at him, to think of him, to speak to him that way? The Lord says, I know what's going on inside of you. I understand your deepest motive. Before the word even comes to the end of my tongue, before it gets squirted out between my lips, before it gets shouted or screamed or cursed or grieved or humiliation or whatever word's going to come out between, you know it all, Lord. And here's David. This is confession. This is transparency. He's going, what have I been doing? Why have I been running away? Why did I think I could play hide and seek from you? Why did I think you don't understand me? Why do I get in this mode where I go, God, you just really don't know what I need. You don't really know what I want. You don't really understand who I am. And God whispers to me, I love you, child. And he waits. And he continues to speak to our heart. And he continues to draw us out of that kind of attitude. And he says this, verse 5. You hem me in. Behind and before, you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You are in front of me, Lord. You are behind me. You ever uncover something about your motivations a year or two later? You ever look back on how you used to live? Maybe when you're old like me, as a teenager, or as a young man or woman, and you kind of go, whoa. And it's kind of like you have a brand new window on the way you treated somebody. You know, how did you talk to that girl? How did you treat that boy? How did you address your grandma? How did you speak to your grandpa? How did you respond to people? And after a while, you look back and you go, wow, I really missed it totally, didn't I, Lord? And God just kind of goes, he's in front of me. He's behind me. David is understanding this. He said, everything about me, you've got hemmed in. You've got it understood. And then he says, this knowledge, this awareness is beyond what I can comprehend. God, I can't get this. And he almost wants to go, how is it you know me better than I know myself? How is it, why couldn't I hear you back then when you told me don't talk to your mom that way? How come I couldn't listen to you back then when you said to me, don't treat this man that way or this woman that way? Don't respond to life that way. Why is it, Lord, I couldn't hear? It's just beyond me. It's just, I can't even begin to get my heart or my mind around you, God. And he's crying simply because he just kind of wishes he had a heart this big and a mind this big. I just could have said, yes, Lord, why can't I listen and do what you've called me to do? I can't get it. It's too wonderful, too lofty. Then David comes to the realization. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go into the highest of the heavens, and that, notice it's plural, it's not just one, it's all the heavens, into the sky, into the atmosphere, into the space, into the galaxies. If I go to the farthest end of the universe, and into the place of the, you're there already. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there also. Doesn't matter if I go down to the deepest, most dark, most dingy, useless place in my life or the world or at the bottom of the sea. You are there. If I get up on, rise on the wings of the dawn, it's kind of like, You got a picture of the prophet watching dawn come and light just shoots across out into the distance. He says, if I went as far as I possibly could, as far as that light would carry me, Lord, as fast as that light would carry me, he says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the farthest side of the sea, go as far as I could, as far as the sea would take me, even there, your hand will guide me. So there's this mixture of awesomeness in David's heart. There's this mixture of self-realization where he understands what he's done and how he's treated God. And he comes to this point now here, and he says, your hand is always there. Have you ever been so far away from God and finally you go, and God found me? Or the testimony that I think Candace shared this morning about a woman who had been raised Jewish and then pursued God and tried to find God, and God was all over her life and pursued her and eventually called her into the kingdom. And she said, I didn't know, and I looked all the wrong places, and God goes, I was there. I was right there. So whether you walk away because you're being foolish, you walk away because you're being stubborn, you walk away because you're being immoral, you walk away because you're whatever it is, God is whispering to you now. Your parents may need to hear this, and grandparents, I'm still after your kid. I'm still working. Do you ever pray that prayer? Dear Lord, whatever you got to do in my life or my child's life, bring them to real faith. Only don't make me hurt too much. You ever have those little PSs you put them on the end? Right? Good. I think I'm going to take your life because that's the only way I can save your daughter. Lord, could we run that one by me again? Right? We always have these conditions. We kind of establish these. Can I put a different prayer out in front of you? And God says, no. I need every bit of you all the time, totally surrendered, because I'll tell you my heart. I want your kid back. I want them walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want them saved, made alive in Jesus Christ for all eternity. And whatever I have to do, I want to do those things to bring that child, to bring that man, to bring that wife, to bring that husband, whatever the case might be, to that point. And so here's David understanding that. Even there, your right hand, your hand will guide me. Your right hand just won't let go. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me. Remember, kids, when I said, you cover your eyes and go, God can't see me because I got my eyes closed. Or I'm hiding in a dark closet and God can't find me in the dark closet. Or when the lights are out, and go, big people do that too sometimes. Even the darkness will not. Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness you will not be dark to you, and in the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. There is no difference. And then this beautiful text. Every pro-lifer, everyone that has ever understood, hopefully every mother that's ever been pregnant or every child that said, where do babies come from, and have read this verse. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, and I was woven together in the depths of your earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Do you understand a confession like that when he finally says, Lord, from the first cell, from before I was even begun, from the beginning of the beginning, everything about me was clear to you. Isn't it hard to let God be God? I mean, that's really the dilemma here, right? The dilemma is, I don't want to let God be God. And finally, David has to cry. He's got to go, God, you've seen me before I was ever begun. Everything about me from when I was so small, you could hardly see me with the naked eye until I was so small. You watched over every bit of that. Everything about the most inside part of what makes me tick, what makes me hurt, what makes me happy, what makes me understand. Everything about me you understand. And this is the acknowledgement. This is standing in awe with your head down going, Lord, you're way too big. There's things I can't comprehend. You know me better than I know myself. You're trying to tell me things, but I don't want to listen. And you've been whispering and shouting and speaking through people in the church and your word. And God, I still sometimes won't listen. Go, God, I really... And he acknowledges it finally. He finally gets it. It is the testimony. It is going... From the very beginning, you knew me. And he whispers, of course I did. And you've never lost sight of me. You've never misunderstood me. You never misheard my prayer, did you? No. Because I know you that well. Then he goes on. Hear the testimony of David now. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Can you get up in the morning and confess that? Right? I mean, here's this point where he just, how precious to me, Jesus, is what you think of me. Well, don't you see what all those other people think? God, how precious is what you think of me? That's where I'm going to start. That's a confession. This is a laying it down. This is an emptying of oneself. It's just emptying yourself out. It is standing before God saying, you got it all. You know it all. You understand it all. Here, watch what he does now. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now watch how it reverses. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. What's David trying to communicate? I will not walk with those people who are your enemies. I will not speak well of those who've turned their back on you. I will not enter into that kind of attitude. He's identifying, I will stand even if this person is the person I want to date. Even if this person is the person I want to marry. Even if this person is the person I think is the coolest kid in school. Even if this person is the most influential person at work. I will not walk in the path that they walk. I will hate those things that you hate. Does that sound strange? Wisdom is to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Walking in wisdom is revealed as loving what God loves and hating what God hates. There are things that God hates. That doesn't mean I'm given permission to hit them. It doesn't mean I'm ever given permission to be rude or insulting or cruel to them. But he is this, God's given me permission to say, I hate those things that you hate, Lord, like the unrighteousness of my heart, the inconsistencies of my behavior, the deceptions that I bring on myself and whisper in my... You don't have to go to anybody else, do you? Spend the time hating in yourself, in your attitudes, in your behavior, the thing that God's hate, you'll have plenty to do for the rest of your life. And after you're done dealing with the log in your own eye, you know, the big chunk of wood, if you got anything left, then you're going to be ready to talk to the person about their log. You understand the power of hating what God hates and loving what God loves? And here's David going, he's got to remember. He's got to know what the love of God has done for this man. This man who lived like he lived and did what he did and compromised the way he compromised. And here at this point, he's going, Jesus, I love what you love and I hate what you hate. And I don't want to get anywhere away from that. And the hardest part to do that in is in your own life. God says, I hate that lying stuff in you. I hate the way you manipulate each other. I don't like the way you treat these people. It is not useful that you haven't forgiven them. I hate the way you talk to your wife. I hate the way you treat your friend. That kind of deception, that kind of attitude does not belong in the heart of my man or my woman or my child. So here's David going, I hate what you hate, Lord. Then he gets to the final step, which is the one I wanted you to focus on the most. Here's our prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious, worrisome thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in. Me. You're supposed to have your Bibles here. If you don't have your Bibles here, you're getting yelled at right now. Why are you in church without your Bible to read? So you can go home and teach this to somebody else. You know the rule, right? The problem is me. When David got that, he understood. When I get it, I start to understand. My whole attitude toward people, life, circumstances, the world, family, children, saved, damned, whoever it is, everything starts to change when I say, search me, O Lord. Start hearing me, O Lord. Cleanse me, O Lord. Wash my heart clean, O Lord. Reveal to me anything in my life. And then the second part, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you understand? When David is able to express this, He's emptied himself out. He is beginning to arrive at that point where he says, it's got to always start here, Lord. And when Jesus says, you know, take the log out of your own eye, before you talk to your wife, why does he say that? Before you complain to your husband? Before you yell at your mom or make fun of your kid or yell at your kid or whatever, just get the log out of your own eye. Why? Because the me part is where God's got to work first and foremost. Because once I get my eyes on that which is everlasting and I separate myself from that which doesn't mean something to those things that do mean something, when I finally get my heart straightened out related to materialism, when I start getting my heart related to the things that matter and I remember my kid broke this vase or my husband did this thing or my wife said that particular thing, what do I begin to discover? Lord, search me, empty me out, clean me up, and get me ready to do those things that matter. Those things that are everlasting. Those things that will carry my son or my daughter into eternity. Those things that will bless my wife into eternity. Those things that will bless my husband into eternity. When you can't say, start on me, you haven't quite understood the power of this song. When you understand that, then you can say, every morning, O Lord, I'll start with you. Take my whole life. God has got a plan, a love, and a desire for you. And it is to bring us to this point so that He can reveal to us all that we need to see about our lives and we can live and move under His mercy and grace. Pray with me. O Lord, I get so stubborn that I shut you out but pretend I'm saved. I close off your wisdom because I don't want to hear it. I want to justify my temper, my moodiness, my pride, my selfishness, my aloofness. I hide behind excuses, Lord. I hide behind rationalizations. And I justify because people have the problems they have and talk to me the way they do and are selfish and greedy and prideful themselves. And I make excuses for my own behavior. And I make excuses for how I treat people and how I live my life. There's no room, Lord, in the kingdom for what I bring to this relationship. There's no room in the kingdom, Lord, For what I do when I bring pride and arrogance and justification and rationalization into this relationship. You know me. You understand me in ways I don't even know about my own self. And the miracle, Lord, is you love me. The miracle, Lord, is you're in front of me, above me, below me, on either side. And you still love me and move across my life and direct me and pull me and encourage me. The miracle, Lord, is not what I bring to the relationship with you. The miracle is what you have done to create the relationship in the first place, what you continue to do to sustain it. And so, Lord, come and bless us. Help us to confess this psalm until it's real in our own hearts. Help us to confess it until we cry with the words at the end, if there is any offense in me, lead me in the way everlasting. I pray that in your name, Jesus. God's people said, amen. As your offering is received, we pray God's blessing in that.